Hello and welcome. I am your host, Shauna DeMellon, and you are listening to the Oracle of Light podcast. In today's episode, we are going to journey into the world of creating a sacred, full being clearing. In other words, looking at different ways to purify your inner vessel. We are made up of so many different aspects, and that includes our mind, our energy, our emotions, our physical body. And by looking at all of those different aspects and the different ways that we can enhance each of those different aspects, it will bring us more clarity. It'll help us to focus on what we'd really like to create. It will give us the opportunity to clear away anything that may be clouding our judgment, any external noise, any drama, trauma, other people's stuff. It'll give us a chance to look at the different areas of our world where maybe we're bored, maybe we don't have enough on the go, maybe we are focused on too many external things and we're not taking the time to become quiet and really connect into our own inner reservoir of information, insight, guidance, that awareness. You know those days when you have crystal clear vision about what your life looks like, where you're headed, what the steps are? Those are amazing, amazing opportunities. And in order to experience that more and more, it's very important to look at different ways to purify our mind, keep our energy nice and clear, master our emotions so that we're not jumping on that proverbial hamster wheel and just letting our emotions take over, taking us into a reactionary space, instead sitting in a place of responding. And again, we need to look at our physical body. Does our physical body require movement? What does our physical body require for us to live and not only live our best life, but to thrive, to absolutely thrive? So to start with, we're going to look at clearing your mind. And when our mind is clear, we're able to see the world through the eyes of the witness. We're able to stand back, if you will, and start to witness the world around us with more curiosity, with patience. We're able to just really start to monitor and really start to take in the bigger picture of what's going on around us. Oftentimes, when we have so much going on in our mind and we're stressed and there's disappointment and we're frustrated and we're on that hamster wheel and our ego takes over, when we're in that space, it's very hard to be patient. It's very difficult to really have that clarity about what our next steps need to be. And so as you learn to clear your mind, clear away thoughts that aren't yours, perceptions, projections, ideas, anything that isn't yours, anything that isn't facilitating having an amazing moment, having an incredible day, having a wonderful month, whatever that looks like for you. And now here are some ways that you can clear your mind. And if you've heard any of the other, listened to any of the other podcasts, the other episodes, meditation is huge. Meditation is so important when we want to clear our mind and slow things down and really start to connect into that inner voice. And early in my spiritual development, when I started to really reawaken my gifts and I was seeing spirit all over the place and I was knowing things and all of my gifts sort of kicked up all at once. And it was a little bit overwhelming. And one of the teachers that I worked with, she said, I'm going to start you with meditation. And I couldn't sit for longer than 9 or 10 seconds without my mind interjecting with something again. And what I've learned over time is that our mind is continuously going. And when we practice meditation and get into a space where we're in allowance of whatever those thoughts are, whatever needs to go, and the more that you practice stilling your mind and creating that vessel for just that beautiful stillness, the easier it gets. I can sit now in meditation for probably hours, and there isn't really anything going through my mind, but rather I am perhaps sitting in my Akashic Records. I'm downloading, I'm channeling. It's a different space. And again, you know, when I first started meditating years ago, I had to start with guided meditations, because guided meditations give your logical mind something to chew into, something to think about. You know, it'll paint a picture for your mind to focus on. You're counting, you're going down steps, you're doing this, you're doing that. And then we're doing the breath work, and we're slowing things down, and we're accessing those states, you know, the alpha state, those different states. And that helps to really clear your mind. And that really, really helps us to get into that place of clarity, that inner clarity. So again, if meditation isn't your thing, I highly recommend that you start with a guided meditation, which is absolutely lovely. You can even listen to binaural beats. You can check out YouTube. They've got tons of different things on YouTube where you can listen to binaural beats, and those will slow your brainwave patterns. You know, nice soft music even. I find listening to classical music, it almost feels like it's massaging my brain. For those of you who are empathic and you're very intuitive and you're picking up on the world around you, you know, we always need different tools and techniques to slow down the monkey mind, the critter mind, as I refer to it. And really, meditation is key. So looking for ways that you can meditate. If you meditate already, that's fantastic. I invite you to try different meditations. I invite you to maybe look at your practice. You know, maybe longer meditations would be beneficial. Maybe sitting down by the river and doing your meditation, maybe taking a class and learning a different meditation, just being open to whatever that can look like for you. And number two, another way that you can clear your mind is really practicing no judgment. And what do I mean by that? I mean, really starting to become cognizant and witness where the judgments are coming in. And so often we are so critical of ourselves. And that's really where we need to start looking at the judgment. You know, when you look in the mirror, do you look in the mirror and look for positive things? Do you look in the mirror and say, oh, look at my hair, it's amazing. And I love the outfit I have on. And ooh, I like my sparkly nails. Or, you know, I really, really like this lip color, this lip gloss. Or, wow, I can see the tone and definition in my arms. Are you looking for positive things? Or do you zero in on, oh, I need to lose 5 pounds. Or, oh, geez, my teeth aren't as white as they used to be. This is what my friend said to me the other day. She said, I've been drinking too much red wine. Look at my teeth. They're horrible. I said, oh my gosh. So really starting to notice where you're judging you. You know, do you get upset? Do you berate yourself if you lose your temper? If you go to the grocery store and you forget your list and you forget a few things, are you going into judgment of you? You know, oh, I should have remembered that. Or, you know, how silly am I? Or, you know, just this is an invitation for you to start looking at where you're judging, starting with you. And then we start to explore, you know, start to really encompass the world around you and start to look at different ways that you see and notice judgment showing up. Because judgment really sticks the energy of whatever it is. If we're judging someone else, it's like we're really solidifying that energy or that judgment of that person, of what they're doing, their behavior, what they said. And it's not coming from a place of kindness, really. I mean, I look at it, I think there's really no point in judging people. We all do it. Everyone does it. Everyone, you know, we've got trigger points. We've got different points of view, but there's really no need to judge someone else because everyone is going to choose whatever's working for them in that moment. And if it doesn't make sense to us, if it doesn't align with us, okay, cool. That's okay. That it doesn't have to get any bigger than that. We don't have to make other people wrong for choices that they're making that we wouldn't. Ooh, so everything that just brought up, we're going to destroy an uncreated all across all ways, spaces, times, dimensions, and realities. And if you haven't listened to any of my episodes before, I do energetic clearings. And so anytime the energy's not flowing as I'm channeling, as I'm talking about what the episode wants to talk about, I'm just going to grab that energy and clear it so the energy is continuously flowing. You don't have to do anything. Just whatever you're willing to release at that time is going to release. And I invite you to drink more water for the next day after you listen to this episode, whenever that is. And so, yeah, judgment. Judgment of you, judgment of your past. You know, how many times do we look back and go, oh, if I'd only finished this project, or oh, if I'd only gone back to school sooner, or oh, if I hadn't, you know, given up on something. You know, we judge our past. So everything that is, we're just going to destroy and create all of that. We judge the people around us. How many times have you judged someone else because they weren't reading your mind? I know I've done that. Well, you should know what I want. Damn you. So yeah, everything that just brought up, let's just destroy and uncreate it all. And so yeah, it's a beautiful way to clear your mind when we're not in judgment, because judgment is a really dense energy. And it's almost like a weighted balloon. It'll just hang on, and it'll just bring your energy, your vibration down, and you're not feeling as happy and joyous. So when we kick the judgment, then we're able to be happier, more joyful, more of our true essence is coming out, and we're more jovial and fun and we're playful. That's really who we are. Another way that you can clear your mind is by speaking your truth. This is huge. I've coached clients for several years, and in hundreds of sessions, I will literally say to my client, you have permission to speak your truth. You have permission to speak up. If something doesn't feel right, you have permission to speak up. That doesn't feel right. I'm not sure about that. I don't like that. Can I get back to you? No. I mean, this is huge. We were brought up in families. I know I was. I was brought up in a family where I wasn't taught to say no. I wasn't taught to have strong boundaries and tell somebody to kick it if I needed to. Tell somebody, no, that's not okay with me. Leave me alone. I wasn't taught really strong boundaries. And so growing up, my boundaries were kind of wishy-washy. And, you know, I would, you know, have different friends in my world that, you know, probably weren't that good for me. Maybe a little bit toxic, maybe a lot toxic. And, you know, I kind of felt like I was kicked in the teeth so many times before I realized, I need to speak my truth. I need to catch things quicker. People will always show us who they are. They will. I had a client who was dating a guy, and she thought he was lovely. They've been dating for a couple of months, and she just thought that he was the cat's meow. They went for dinners. They went to the mountains. They had the best time. They had so many things in common. They had shared interests. They met each other's families. Like, it was really lovely. And then one day he said to her, oh, I accidentally deleted our whole conversation. Oh my goodness. What were we talking about? And she froze. And she thought, wow, okay, something about that didn't feel right. And she's like, oh, well, yeah, we were talking about, you know, going for a bike ride or whatever it was. And then a couple of weeks later, it came out that he was, in fact, not divorced. He was still married. And so that red flag was a way of the universe kind of showing her, you know what, there's something more going on here. And it really gave her the opportunity to speak her truth. And again, you know, like for her, being with someone who is married was a non-negotiable. That was just a no. And so it really gave her a chance to speak her truth. It really gave her a chance to look back at, you know, the red flags and really start to see, because again, people will show us who they are all the time. We just have to be willing to see it. So remember, you're not willing to see people for who and what they are. Let's destroy and create all of that. Everywhere you're not willing to speak your truth, let's destroy and create all of that. And everywhere that you still like to judge yourself, let's destroy and create all of that. Everywhere that you're aligning with everyone else's truth, oh, let's destroy and create all of that across all ways, spaces, times, dimensions, and realities. I'm going to run that again. Everywhere you're speaking other people's truth and not your own, destroy and create all of that across all ways, spaces, times, dimensions, and realities. Because yeah, it's up to us. Nobody else really has our back. We need to have our back. The universe has our back. You know, it's really comes down to that. You know, we've got people that come into our world that want to co-create with us, that want to have fun with us, that want to collaborate with us. But it's up to us to speak our truth. So often I see clients that get involved in romantic relationships, and it's almost like they completely lose who they are and what works for them, and they sort of morph into the yes girl, the yes guy, because they don't want to disappoint the other person, and they want to keep that connection at whatever cost. But when we're not speaking our truth, we're not showing up as our true, authentic self. We're not showing up in our full power, our full potency. And so everything that that just brought up, we just want to destroy and create all of that across all ways, spaces, times, dimensions, and realities. So that's clearing your mind. Now we're going to look at channeling your energy, keeping your energy clear. You know, we often sense or experience things in our energy body before we're aware of it mentally or physically. We just pick stuff up. Your awareness is picking up things all day. I pick up on people tuning into my energy. So I'll pick up on somebody, and then 5 minutes later, I'll get a text or an email, or they'll call, or, you know, they'll show up. And so, some ways that you can really channel your energy, keep your energy clear. The first way is by, having some sort of energetic clearing ceremony. For me, I've always got candles lit. I smudge. I'm always looking at different ways of keeping my energy clear. I do Qigong. I work out. I'm in nature, as often as I can be. You can light a candle, and you can ask the flame of the candle to help you burn away any stuck energetic patterns or any energy that isn't serving you. And it can be that easy. So everywhere you're not letting things be easy, let's destroy and uncreate all of that across all ways, spaces, times, dimensions, and realities. And that's probably for me as well. Sometimes I'm not choosing ease, and I'm choosing a bunch of drama, trauma, usually because I'm bored, usually because I don't have enough juicy, fun, exciting stuff on the go. So then I start to create a bunch of crap. And that really doesn't serve anybody. So energy clearing, looking for different ways to keep your energy nice and clear. You know, when somebody's around and you just kind of don't feel good after you're around them, you may have picked up some of their energetic debris. And you know what? Just, shaking it off, dancing, lighting a candle, going for a run, working out, breath work, just finding different ways to keep your energy nice and clear. Something else that you might want to try is containing your energy. We used to refer to this as shielding. In my metaphysical teachings years ago, it was shielding. You always needed to shield yourself, protect yourself. I don't see it that way anymore. I see it as, you know what, I'm in my full power, and there's nothing here that's going to take me out. And I'm not afraid of any energies. And it's taken me a while to get there, I will admit. I used to not leave the house until I was loaded up, shielded up, different layers, this and that. And now, instead, you could do something as simple as, imagine that you're wearing a cloak that just filters out anything that's not beneficial to you. And it can have different colors. Different colors mean different things. Fuchsia, pink, that's for love and joy. Green, healing. Blue is for communication. Purple is for your spiritual connection. So you can just imagine yourself, either stepping into a bubble or wrapping yourself in a cloak. And you're just, it's not from a place of you have to protect yourself, but instead it's like a filter. It's filtering out anything that's not beneficial so that you can have the best day ever. And now number three, this is fabulous, a fabulous way to keep your energy clear. And I touched on it a few minutes ago, is walking in nature. And not just walking in nature. Here in Calgary right now, we're just about at the beginning of October, and my favorite time of year, and it's fall. And so whenever I go out for a hike, I go out to the mountains, I will literally get out of the car and just stand and breathe and just inhale all of those delicious scents. And I stand and I let the sun bask down on me, just warming me. And I just really imagine that I'm anchoring into the earth, imagining my energy going down several feet under my feet, down into the earth, anchoring me, allowing the energies to flow through and support me. And I just really start to notice what's going on with me. I find as soon as I get out into nature, I'm really noticing more of what's going on around me. The crunch of the leaves, the smell, Is there a gentle brook running in amongst the trees? Are there squirrels running around? Are there birds? Just notice. And I may have mentioned this in other episodes. I always look for a heart rock. So every time I'm out on my hike, I always look for a heart rock. Some of them are a little more heart-shaped than others, but you get the idea. And so again, standing and connecting to the trees, standing in that stillness, connecting to the ground, all the different life forms, breathing in that calming energy and just allowing it to wash over you, clearing away everything that isn't beneficial for you. And next, we're going to check in with your emotional state. And you know what? Throughout our lives, that is going to change. It's going to change no matter what we're going through. Different things happen, different things are impacting us. And it's so important to check in on your emotional state. Do you need to have that ugly cry? Do you need to sit in silence? Do you need someone to hold sacred space for you? I've got a girlfriend that, she's fabulous. She's like, how are you? Do you need me to just shut up and listen? Or would you like feedback? What do you need from me at this time? And it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful that we can do that for each other. And so the first way that, it's really important to check into your emotional state is through movement. Movement, exercise. This lets your emotions actually move. We're in such a sedentary lifestyle. I mean, I am anyway. I have client sessions, and so I'm sitting in client sessions. I do a lot of content creation. I channel, I write. So I'm at my computer. Some days I could be at the computer for 12 hours. And so I've set a timer. So every hour I get up, I do some stretches. I do a couple of flights of stairs, go for a walk around the block. So just really breaking that up because, again, the emotions will just sit there in your energy field. And movement is what kind of dislodges them and lets them flow through. So movement can be, walking, shoveling, dancing, exercise, yoga. Again, Qigong is fabulous to get the energy moving, to get the emotions moving. Kind of a double whammy with the Qigong. Another way that you can really check in with your emotional state is really allowing yourself to go into the emotion fully with the intent that on the other side, you're going to tap into your awareness. And you're going to find the specific story that you're telling yourself, which is so fantastic. I always tell people, if you're triggered, fabulous. Sit with it. Because that means that something got poked in your underbelly that is giving you an opportunity to really shift something big. And if you're willing to sit with it, you will have profound awakenings. This is where transformation comes from. I do transformational coaching and when you're willing to sit with those emotions and sit there and then let your awareness flow, the stories that pop out, the beliefs, the patterns, it's absolutely fantastic. It's everything that we're telling ourselves on a subconscious level. And when we can get to that and shift it, that's where true transformation comes in. And when you're able to go into the emotion fully, you'll notice if it feels heavy. Maybe there's some forgiveness. And again, if you're able to sit with it and let the tears come or whatever needs to happen, there could be anger, whatever that is, there will always be a story that will pop out the other end, what's been holding it in place. And now, another way that we can, really check in with our emotional state is to find ways to express those more difficult emotions without creating more internal or external drama. And what do I mean by that? It's so important to let it out. I'm not sure where I heard this, but I don't know if it was a podcast or on TV. This person said, when something big happens to you and you're upset, find one person to repeat it to and then let it go. Because we have this habit. I'm going to call it a habit of sharing the story over and over and over again. And we may have shared it once and we had a release and it felt amazing. We felt heard and we could let it go. And then we bring it up again. And what we're doing is we're reattaching the energy. We could re-imprint the whole story. And that's really what starts to mess us up We've done this work, we've cleared it, we've let it go, we've done the ugly cry, whatever we needed to, I kickbox, whatever we need to process. And then we share it again. It's almost like climbing the rungs of a ladder. You know, you tell one person and you go up a few steps, you feel lighter. And then you tell someone else and you come back down a little bit because it weighs you down. And so it's really important to find ways to express those more difficult emotions, again, without inviting any other drama, without re-imprinting it, without going back into and connecting with the energy of it. Oftentimes that's what we'll do. We'll just, you know, if it was something sad, we'll go back into the sadness. And we don't really need to do that. Is what it comes down to is that, yes, we're honoring wherever we are. We're honoring those difficult emotions, you know, grief, trauma, anything that's really heavy on our heart, finding ways to express it, let it be heard, let it be honored, and move through it without creating more upset in our world, if that makes sense. And another way that we can really start to create more of that sacred world around us is, again, the next area is with our body. You know, we can work it out. You know, here's how to connect to the sacred uniqueness and the needs of your body. Your body has its own consciousness. It really does. Your body will be very clear. Do you ever think, I'm just going to have a snack and you don't really, you're just maybe not as mindful and you'll maybe grab, I don't know, a bag of chips or some ice cream and you drop it, you drop the bowl, you drop the bag of chips. It's almost like that's your body's way of saying, I don't really want that. You didn't ask me. Or, you know, you go to get dressed in the morning and you put on a shirt and you feel so uncomfortable and you go back to change and you think, okay, what would I really like to wear today? And you're guided to like this beautiful blue top in the back of your closet. This is me the other day. And you put it on and you just feel magic. That's the power of our body. That's, you know, our body again has its own consciousness. And when we start to tune into our body more and more, we have this incredible vessel that wants to co-create with us, that wants to experience life to the fullest. And so the most important thing that you can do is to not compare your body to anyone else. We're in this era where people can be airbrushed and, you know, waists are made smaller, stretch marks are erased, you know, like the boobs are made bigger. You know, it's like this virtual reality that isn't based on what is true and what is beautiful about the human body. And so it's so important not to compare your body to anyone else. That's also another way of judging yourself. If you're comparing yourself, you know, if maybe you have 10 pounds to lose and you see someone else and you think, oh, they're so fit and they're so skinny and what do they do that I'm not doing? It's just all judgment. Instead, all right, how can I be the best version of me today? What does my body require for me to feel amazing in my own skin? So not comparing your body. Another way is to start asking your body. I touched on this just a few moments ago, really about, you know, what would you like more of, body? What would you like less of? And really start to listen to your body's wisdom and the depth that it has if you're willing to go there with it. I know when I first heard this years ago, I thought, what? Why am I talking to my body? That's crazy. But try it. I invite you to ask, okay, body, what would you like to eat? What would you like for lunch? What would you like off this menu? What nail color would you like? I always ask that when I go to get my nails done. All right, body, what are we picking today? And if I go against that color, I will hate it. I will hate it for 2 weeks or however long it is till I get my nails done again. So I've learned to listen to my body when she's picking her nail color. So again, body, what would you like more of? Body, what would you like less of? Body, would you like to have a massage? Would you like to have a pedicure? Body, would you like to grab a latte and go sit by the river in the sun? Body, what would you like? Body, would you like more sleep, less sleep, more water, supplements, more green vegetables, more protein? Body, what would you like? And another way to really start to tune into the needs of your body is through exercise. And we touched on this briefly before through movement to get the emotions going and to get the energy going. But exercise will make us feel stronger and more in our body. It just connects us into our body. I mean, I love to go to the gym and I love to kickbox, and I just feel so connected, so in my body when I'm exercising. And it's absolutely fantastic. And another way is to be mindful of what you put in your body, or even what you put on your body. You know, what kind of deodorant are you using? What kind of lotions? You know, are there certain foods that your body really likes? You know, do you skip a meal and then feel really horrible after? Are you, do you really enjoy fast food? You know, how do you feel if you, you know, go have a burger through drive-thru, burger and fries and a pop? You know, how do you feel after? Do you feel wonderful? Do you feel lethargic? This is just an invitation for you to start to notice how your body is communicating with you. Do you get a headache after you drink too much caffeine? Do you get a sore stomach after you eat certain foods? Just really starting to notice, and not from a place of judgment, just really starting to notice, I think my body really likes more water throughout the day. I feel a little bit more clear. Or, you know, my body really doesn't like, you know, processed foods. Maybe, you know, once in a while, but no, my body really doesn't like certain foods. My body doesn't like to drink alcohol, or my body doesn't like a lot of sugar. My body likes a little bit of sugar. My body likes to have a salad at least once a day. You know, like whatever that looks like for you, really checking in. And when you commit to yourself and choose to align with life, you accept the task of inner cleansing as an extreme act of self-care, self-love. So, you know, that inner cleansing of our mind, of our emotions, of our energy, of our physical body, by choosing to connect in and figure out what it is that you need to thrive. Again, that's an extreme act of self-love. And by doing all of that, you'll be able to tune into your intuition, your inner truth with more ease and clarity. You'll be able to hear the whispers of your soul. You'll be able to hear what your body would like, and you'll feel like $1 million after you follow that guidance. And you'll be able to experience and play with universal energies that are just waiting to co-create with you. So there you have it. I welcome your comments. I always love to hear how you're doing, what you'd like me to share and talk about and look at even further. This episode is really an invitation for you to look at those different ways. What are the different ways that you can begin to commit to yourself and choose to align with life and really start to take care of you, putting you first, making you the priority, and then letting that beautiful gift spread out into the world in magical ways. I send you mountains of love. Let me know how you're doing, and I will talk to you next week. Bye for now.